It'll be toward the end, yeah, maybe. All right. Thank you, June, for opening us in prayer. I can get right into things. I'm ready now. All right. Good evening. And we are continuing in our study of the doctrines of the Bible in the midst of, actually, looks like this will be our last week in the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at spiritual gifts. Last week in particular, we started looking at some of the sign gifts that are in the Bible. But we need to do a little bit of review here. What is a spiritual gift?
Divine ability to excel at a spiritual
activity. Okay. A divine enabling to excel at a spiritual activity. How are spiritual gifts different from talents?
Everybody has a talent.
Only believers have spiritual gifts. Another one is spiritual gifts come from God. Talents oftentimes come by nature. There are a limited number of spiritual gifts. Talents are many. What is the purpose of a spiritual gift? To glorify God, to edify the body of Christ for the profit of all is what it is. What is a sign gift?
A gift used to authenticate.
Okay. All right, exactly. A sign gift is the divine enabling to authenticate new revelation from God. A divine enabling to authenticate new revelation from God. Throughout Scripture, as God revealed something new to man, He would enable men and women to do signs, miraculous signs, to authenticate that they were the message that they were bringing from God. Here's a new message from God, and here's proof that it is. And they would do, the message would be accompanied with miraculous signs. This happened to Moses, Elijah, the apostles, and even others in the early church could do them at will as the New Testament was given. That is a sign gift. Why is there no new revelation since the completion of the New Testament? All right, very good. All right, good. In fact, well, the bottom line is God said there wouldn't be, right? Revelation 22 is very clear on that. God has revealed everything that He needed to reveal to man in this age, and the book of Revelation even ends warning that it should not be added to nor taken away from. It is complete. Why are sign gifts unnecessary today? Okay, it's complete. That really is it. They are given again to authenticate new revelation from God, and God has not, nor will he give new revelation in this age because He said He wouldn't. So I do not believe that sign gifts exist today. Unlike all of the other spiritual gifts that we went through and listed 2 weeks ago, sign gifts really do not serve a current function in the church because there is no new revelation being given. We have the final and full authority of God right here in our Bible. We talked about three sign gifts last week. What were they? Nope.
Prophecy,
miracles, and healing. Now, the gift of prophecy that we talked about, remember there are two kinds of prophecy. One of them we talked about 2 weeks ago, and it is the forth-telling kind of prophecy. You and I can prophesy in that we can look at God's word and proclaim it. That is the forth-telling kind of prophecy. Then last week, we looked at the sign gift or foretelling prophecy, which is the supernatural ability to reveal new words from God. And since God is not revealing new words, that kind of prophecy doesn't exist today. In fact, we talked quite a bit about the fact that there are world religions and cults that have begun because people have claimed to have new revelation, new prophecy from God. We talked about the gift of miracles, the supernatural ability to do miraculous things. I mentioned last week, I believe beyond a doubt that God does still do miracles. He may even use men and women to carry them out. But the gift to do miracles at will does not exist today. And then the third gift we looked at was the gift of healing. The supernatural ability to heal a person of an ailment. It could be physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual. And do you remember what we talked about, the healings that took place in the Bible? What was something that they all had in common? Instantaneous and 100%. Every person that Jesus or the apostles, or even the Old Testament prophets, ever set out to heal, they were healed 100%. Which clearly demonstrates that those that claim this gift today don't have it. And we're talking about the gift, the spiritual sign gift of healing. I do believe that God heals people today and heals them even miraculously. But I do not believe that there are gifted people who can do that at will today. The next gift that I want to look at tonight, is the sign gift of tongues. And because there has been a huge movement within Christianity, in particular over the past 100 years surrounding this sign gift, I want to spend a little bit more time with it. In fact, we'll spend most of our evening on that tonight. And I also want to ask that, because I've actually got quite a bit of material here, if a question pops in your mind, now I'm going to ask you a couple questions throughout the evening, but if a question pops in your mind, just jot it down, and Lord willing, we will have some time at the end to address those questions. But I do have some good information that I really want to get to you tonight. Let's see here. All right, so let's look at the sign gift of tongues. The sign gift of tongues, and here's a definition, the supernatural ability to speak a language that was not learned. The supernatural ability to speak a language that was not learned. And I want to break this down into a few different categories tonight, so to help us understand what this gift really is, what this gift is not, and what is going on in the church today with those who claim to have this gift. Once again, as I mentioned last week, we as believers have a right and an obligation to test the miraculous when we encounter it. Okay, when someone claims to be doing a miracle, something miraculous from God, and that miracle is accompanied with a message that they say is from God, we as God's children are obligated to investigate it and expose it if indeed it does not match what God's word says. So we need to look at what the Bible says about tongues. And here is what the gift of tongues is. I'm going to give you four things. Here's what the gift of tongues is. Number one, tongues was actual human languages. Tongues were actual human languages. In fact, the word tongue or tongues is used about 103 times in the Old Testament and about 54 times in the New Testament. And in each and every case, it is either speaking of the tongue as a physical organ or an intelligible language, okay? A language spoken between two people. And that is how the word is used every time in Scripture, an intelligible language used between people. Now, with that, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want to pick out in particular three passages in Acts chapter 3, or I should say three verses in Acts chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now drop down to verse 6. "And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language." And now drop down to verse 11. "Cretans and Arabs were hearing them speak in our own language the wonderful works of God." This is the first occurrence in the Bible of men empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in languages that they had not learned. And we see here that tongues were actual languages that people identified. Okay? Tongues was actual human languages. Secondly, tongues were a sign of something new. Tongues were a sign of something new. That's really what all the sign gifts are, is a sign of something new. Acts chapter 2, of course, describes the first time the Holy Spirit indwelled people and baptized them into the body of Christ and filled them. We talked about this a few weeks ago because this happened, this kind of thing, as we see in Acts chapter 2, happened with each new people group that received the gospel. When the first Samaritan was led to the Lord, he spoke in tongues. Tongues was a sign of something new. When the first Gentile was led to the Lord, he spoke in tongues. And I might add, it was a sign, and is a sign, it was a sign for unbelievers. In other words, so that when unbelievers witnessed someone who had just believed speak in tongues, that they might believe too. That happened with the household of Cornelius. Tongues was a sign of something new. Thirdly, tongues was a means of publicly glorifying God. Tongues was a means of publicly glorifying God. That same verse 11 in Acts chapter 2 talks about Cretans and Arabs saying, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues." And what did they hear them speak? Wonderful. Of the wonderful works of God. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verses 44 through 46. It says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Tongues was a means of glorifying God. They magnified God. Now, from this passage here in chapter 10, do you see any indication there that this too was an actual intelligible language that they spoke?
They understood it.
Peter and the other Jews that were with him, when these Gentiles began speaking in tongues, knew that they were glorifying God. Okay? It is possible that these Gentiles, maybe they were speaking Hebrew for the first time. But tongues was an intelligible language, a sign of something new, and a means to glorify God. Fourthly, it was a gift exercised at will. Tongues was a gift exercised at will. And I'll just read you this passage. This is from 1 Corinthians 14:6. Paul speaking, he says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching?" And what Paul is basically saying here is Paul, among others, had the ability to speak these languages that they had never learned and do it at will. And the reason I bring this up is I do believe, again, that God still does miracles. I have heard stories, isolated incidents of believers who had actually spoke in languages that they had not learned, but it was a one-time or infrequent event, isolated, not the gift of speaking in tongues at will. Tongues was an intelligible language, a sign of something new, a means of publicly glorifying God, and a gift that could be exercised at will by the one who had it. That is what the gift of tongues was. Here is what the gift of tongues is not. Okay? It is not a special language of angels. It is not a or the special language of angels. Many who claim the gift of tongues today say it is a special language of angels, an angelic language. And nothing we've looked at thus far gives us any indication of that. Tongues, as the Bible portrays it, is always human languages. But here is where that idea comes from. I'm going to have you turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1. Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Now, first off, Paul's emphasis in this passage is love. That's his emphasis. It is doing everything that we do in love, whether it be speaking or teaching or whatever. But there is no doubt that Paul is talking about the language or tongues that men and or angels speak in this verse. So the question is, what language do the angels speak in the Bible? That's just it. They speak in the language of whoever they are talking to. Human languages. They are perfect. Angels, in fact, the word angel means messenger. They are perfect communicators. Every single place in Scripture that angels speak, they are speaking in the language of the people they are talking to. No interpretation needed. Many, myself included, believe that because angels are perfect communicators, the tongues of angels that Paul is talking about here probably refers to the perfect angelic communication, speaking with the eloquence of an angel. And Paul says, if we can speak, even if we can speak with the eloquence of angels and we don't do it in love, we're just making noise. So the gift of tongues is not a special angelic language, because when they speak so that all will understand them perfectly. Secondly, it is not the language. Tongues is not the language of the Holy Spirit. Tongues is not the language of the Holy Spirit. Many claim that their gift of tongues is the Holy Spirit speaking through them and praying to God for them in a special godly language. Perhaps the language that the Godhead would use as they communicate to one another. And those that claim they are speaking that God language say that is why when man hears it, they can't understand what we are saying. Okay, it sounds like gibberish. Those who claim that this language is of the Holy Spirit get that idea from Romans chapter 8. So if you'll turn there. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." From this verse, there is absolutely no doubt that the Holy Spirit does pray and intercede for the believer. The problem is these prayers of intercession, as the verse says, cannot be uttered by men. In other words, when the Holy Spirit prays for us and intercedes, we don't speak it. In fact, we don't even hear it. It says it cannot be uttered. This verse, truthfully, has absolutely nothing to do with the gift of tongues. He's not talking anything about spiritual gifts here at all. The gift of tongues is not the language of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many teach that a person must speak in tongues in order to be placed into the body of Christ. However, Paul says that gifts vary from person to person, and not everyone, even in the first 50 years of the church, spoke in tongues. And then fourthly, it is not proof of salvation. Many teach that until a person speaks in tongues, they are not even really saved. But in 1 Corinthians 12:30, speaking of the varieties of gifts, Paul rhetorically asks, "Do all believers speak in tongues?" And implying a no answer. There's a lot more that we could go through on this concerning what, you know, different passages that we could look at and such. But just for the sake of what we're doing here and the time we have tonight, I'll leave that alone for now. But what I do want to talk about is, what are people speaking today then? If the gift of tongues is what we said it is from Scripture, and as we looked at Scripture, we saw what the gift of tongues isn't, what are people speaking today? And I believe really it's one of two things. One of two things. They are either speaking gibberish of sorts, or they are speaking actual languages, but not by God's power. And this kind of brings us full circle, okay? We began last week talking about the fact that there are two sources of the supernatural, okay? There is God and there is Satan. And Satan will use his supernatural power to deceive people by either using their own imagination, self-deception, or using some sort of supernatural input. Those who claim to have these sign gifts now have either deceived themselves or could be under the influence of Satan. I believe that most are just deceived. They're just deceived. Most of them are speaking gibberish. Ron, if you would mind, there's a video back there. If you would double-click it, I think it's Pat Boone. Do you see it? Double-click that, yeah, and maximize it, if you would.
God has done so much for us.
Turn up the volume.
That's just praising, worshiping right now.
Yeah, gladly. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You've been so good to see Harold Olive's grave.
Praise you, Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord God.
You know who Pat Boone is?
Praise God.
Now, and I think,
you say you'd like to get a
pastor at that point in time.
Shot?
You can go ahead and exit that.
I don't even know who Daniel Boone is.
You were rolling, weren't you?
I know who Debbie Boone is. You light up my life. I believe that 99%, or at least up to 99% of those who claim to have the gift of tongues are doing exactly what these two fellows were doing. But I need to say this. I also believe that they, most of them, sincerely believe that they are speaking in the tongues of the Bible. They are very, very sincere in what they are doing. Of all of the people that I have ever met that have claimed to speak in tongues, this is how they said they acquired it. One of two ways. They either went to a church where others were doing it, and at some point in time it happened to them, or they were taught by someone who said they had the gift. And here's how they said they were taught. They said, just clear your mind, open your mouth, and just let sound come out. And when they did it, they were told that they were speaking in tongues. And again, I think it's a very, very sincere thing. They sincerely believed that they were. Now, I would not recommend being this blunt, but I do know of a pastor, and he was visiting a church, but the church he was visiting knew him very well. It wasn't the church that he was currently pastoring, and it was kind of had a bit of a charismatic feel to it. And he preached that Sunday at this church, and afterwards a woman came up to him and said, "You know, if you would only speak in tongues, then you could really, oh, the power you would have to preach and do even better at what you're doing if you could speak in tongues." And he said to her, Do you really think so?" And she said, "Absolutely." And he goes, "Would you teach me?" And she said, "Yeah, I would." And she basically went through this same line of reasoning. Just clear your mind, close your eyes, take in a deep breath, and when you open your mouth, just start saying words. And he did it. He did exactly what she told him to do. And he went, I can't do it. But anyway, he did much better than I did and just kind of did what these guys did. And she looked at him and she says, "You did it. You did it." And he goes, "No, I didn't. I faked it just like you do." And like I said, I would not recommend being that blunt, but I mean, you know, that may have been something that she needed to hear in that moment. You know that person.
Me?
Yeah. Both of you do, yeah. Anyway, all right. All right. Scientific studies have been done time and time again on people who claim the gift today. And the results, time and time again, are the same. Linguistically, physically, and even mentally, it's determined that the sounds coming out of their mouth are not a language. In fact, I watched a study here about a week ago where a guy, and he wasn't actually going into this trying to prove or disprove anything. He actually had some people from a church come, and they wanted him to do a scan of their brain as they spoke in tongues. And his findings showed that the speech center of the brain was used entirely different when they were doing their tongue speaking than when they actually spoke an actual language. And again, I believe that perhaps 99% of those who claim to have this gift are speaking a gibberish of sorts. And the other smallest percent, they are speaking languages, but I don't believe that it's by the power of God. Again, we've talked about these sign gifts, and these were miraculous happenings to authenticate new revelation from God. And if we talked about this last week, but if we're open right now to new revelation, even though God said he would not give it, okay, that it's complete, then we may as well just take what we have here and consider it worthless, because we could receive something new at any time. So again, we have the right and the obligation to test these things. But those that are actually, and I believe it does happen, there are people out there that do speak unlearned actual languages, according to God's word. It's not from him. Because the real gift of tongues, again, was a sign to do something new, or a sign of something new from God. Because Satan will use the supernatural to keep believers useless and even to repel others from becoming a believer, we as God's children have an obligation to test the miraculous as to where it comes from, especially when it becomes a modern trend like it is today that changes the way the church functions and really the way the world sees the church. I was listening to a speech given at Liberty University by Ted Cruz, but he was just talking, and I was just interested in the speech. The speech had nothing to do with what we're looking at here. However, and I hate it when I do this, but I oftentimes read the comments underneath, okay? And some of them are disgusting, but I could not count how many times they referred to his speech as more of a sermon than a speech, and how the people related Christianity to what is going on in the tongues and charismatic movement today. The view, people were expressing their view, had absolutely nothing to do with his speech. Okay, but because he was promoting Christian principles and Christianity in this speech, people just took the freedom to say whatever they want. And there were so many concerning just the view of Christianity and how the charismatic movement has influenced that. I don't know if I'm making sense at all, but there was a lot of comments about people speaking in tongues, and not that he did any of that, but anyway, it was there. All right. The last sign gift I want to look at, and just very briefly, is the gift of interpretation. God's word does command that if one speak in tongues publicly, they must have a person who can interpret so that everyone can benefit from what was being spoken. The sign gift of interpretation is the supernatural ability to interpret a language that they have never learned. The supernatural ability to interpret a language that they had never learned. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 and 28, it says, as Paul again, "If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church." So that's the gift of interpretation. Basically there, so that if a person is speaking, let's say, well, in the Jewish church, it probably wouldn't be Hebrew if you're speaking in tongues, all right? You speak in German in church in Corinth there, and everybody wants to know how this fellow who's speaking is magnifying God. Paul says, unless there's an interpreter there who has the gift of interpretation and can interpret German, if there isn't one there, don't speak. And I'm using German anyway. You know what I'm saying. All right. Yes. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 and 28. To interpret a language that they have never learned. All right. And I'll just throw this in there, too. I'm trying to remember how many times interpretation is actually listed with the gifts. There are some who actually wonder if it was indeed a sign gift or if they were just wanting to make sure there was someone there who spoke that language so they could interpret the one who was speaking it. All right. Two last things on sign gifts. Number one, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, predicted that sign gifts would vanish. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, predicted that sign gifts would vanish. He especially mentions prophecy, tongues, and the revelation of new knowledge. And he does that in 1 Corinthians 13:8, saying, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." And of course, he's talking about revelation there. This speaking of foretelling prophecy, tongues, and revelation, it says it will vanish away. It will stop. And I'm convinced that it did upon the completion of the New Testament. And then secondly, or last thing we're going to look at tonight, is there are other logical arguments against the existence of sign gifts today. And I want to read to you from a publication by, this is actually by Charles Stanley. Pastor Charles Stanley, and I'll just read you a few bits of this. It's called Sign Gifts in Focus. It says, "Sign gifts continue to be a source of conflict and disagreement among believers. Although I don't claim to have a solution for the division, I do have some questions and observations that may help clear away some of the fog. Number one, why is it that so many people seek the sign gift of tongues when the Apostle Paul clearly stated that we should eagerly desire the greater gifts? When Paul lists the gifts in order of importance, tongues is last." That's in 1 Corinthians 12:28, if you're interested. Another thing he says here, "Why will some people go to such great lengths to receive the sign gift of tongues, but not the gift of service or mercy or giving? Why do people with the gift of healing," or excuse me, he says, "why don't people with the gift of healing go to hospitals?" Why is it that people who claim to have the gift of healing say that the successful exercise of their gift depends upon the faith of the recipient of their gift? A believer with the gift of mercy can show mercy on a faithless person. A man or a woman with the gift of giving can give to a faithless person. Why does the gift of healing require something out of the recipient? And where in Scripture do we find that this particular gift requires special assistance from the one receiving the ministry? Which is greater, he says, which is a greater testimony of the power of God? Healing a sick man within a matter of seconds or exercising self-control throughout a lifetime of temptation? He goes on, he ends it, he says, I do believe God still heals. Yes, I believe he heals miraculously. Have I seen anyone miraculously healed? Yes, I have. Have I ever laid hands on people and prayed and seen them healed? Yes. Do I have the gift of healing? No. I have never met or heard of anyone who has the gift of healing. By that I mean I have never heard of anyone who could heal at will like Jesus and his men. And just a couple other thoughts. With real prophets, as we look at the prophets in the Old Testament, even prophets in the New Testament, in particular looking at what was prophesied, I don't know what's happening. Something's clicking here. But anyway, we look at the book of Revelation, the prophecy given there. With real prophets, God always warned of impending danger. So my question is where were the prophets before 9/11? If some have the gift of tongues, why do we have New Tribes translating Bibles? Why do we have Wycliffe Bible translators? You know, just a couple things, I guess, to think about. But that is where I'm going to end tonight. And we still do have 5 to 10 minutes. So, any thoughts or comments or questions? June.
One of the first things that you said when you started the lesson tonight was that God always heals instantly and completely
through the sign gift of healing. Through the sign gift of healing. Yeah. When Jesus healed a person, he was healed. When Paul healed a person, they were healed. Yes?
How about the time when Jesus was healing the man who couldn't see, and he asked him to tell him what he was seeing, and he said, it looks like men like trees walking, and then Jesus touched him again or spoke again or did something, and he obviously healed him completely, but
right.
He wasn't in.
Well, yeah, that is a really good question, and I guess what I mean by instantly, and perhaps instantly was the wrong word. Quickly, okay, that's.
Since he's in control of absolutely everything, what he was trying to teach during that.
And that's just it.
But at the same time, it doesn't compromise his sovereignty. And
you know, one, I didn't think of that one, but the one that I did think about was the man that had to go to a certain pool and wash his eyes out. Okay? And, you know, one guy, he healed. The blind man, he healed him instantly. The next guy had to go to a pool and wash his eyes out. And obviously, yes, there was some kind of lesson that Jesus was teaching that particular person through that healing. But my point, probably wrong choice of words. In fact, my emphasis was really that it was always 100% successful. I'm going to go back to my notes here and actually... I'm curious. Okay. Yeah, I see the word instantly is not in my notes. So I ad-libbed and should not have. What I have here is the gift of healing was exercised in the bottle, in the Bible, it was always with 100% success.
And when you emphasized or when you implemented that, was that an example of speaking
out? No. No. Tom, you and I need to talk a little bit longer, I guess. Derek.
Have you ever read that little tiny book called The Corinthian Catastrophe?
Yes.
Written by a former guy who was involved in that movement. And after him doing a tremendous study on the Book of Acts and other places, Corinthians, he wrote that little book. But I don't even know if they still even publish that book today, but I was just going to recommend it if anybody wants to.
Yeah, Corinthian Catastrophe. And I can't remember the fellow's name now. I've got a copy of it. Yeah, it's a teeny tiny little book, but he goes through. In fact, this was during the time when the gifts actually existed. But he talks about the abusing of those gifts and how it was a disaster in the church at Corinth. Good, glad you brought that up, Jim.
When apostles healed, they did that in Jesus' name, right? If I remember right.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
They did it themselves. They did it.
No, it was, you know, that actual fact is not stated every time, but I would believe it was. We looked at Paul last week, and as he was on that island, and he healed one fellow who had dysentery. Right, next thing you know, all of the sick from the entire island are coming to him, and it says they were all healed, but. So, definitely it was in by the power of God. Okay, every spiritual gift we exercise is by the power of God. But to say that they said in Jesus' name every time, I could not give you a full answer on that. Other thoughts, questions. Shara.
Make up the list to tell us what our gifts are?
No.
I checked off four. I don't even have to try them.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts? Okay. Well, we will close in prayer then. Father in heaven, Lord, we are thankful for your word to us and just Lord, we don't have it within us to discern truth from fiction. Lord, we have to look to your word, and we just thank you for the fullness of it, that we can look at things that are going on in the world, whether they be trends, and go to your word and find the answers as to whether these things are from you or not. And I pray, Lord, that we would even just evaluate our own lives in that regard. Not that perhaps any of us are actually practicing any of these things, but Lord, there are other things that we need to change about ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that you would convict us in those areas. And Lord, that day by day we would be used more and more. And just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Local church, actually not just the local church overall.